Time for us to hop on board the telephone line and say hello to our friend Chad Finn of the Boston Globe. Hi there, Chad.
Hey, Rich. How's it going?
Pretty good. Now it's beautiful. How can it be anything other than great on a day like this in Maine?
I'm still cold. Needs to warm up a little bit more.
Well, 90 on Saturday, I think.
Yeah, I've been looking at the Boston temperatures. The head on one of the sports stations, and they put the weather on every once in a while, and looks like some 80s down there later in the week. It should be nice. Hopefully that comes up here.
Well, there's not much good news out of Boston these days, so we will take those warm temperatures. Let's start with the Red Sox. My goodness, I don't panic on these things. I try to be patient and keep it in perspective, but I mean, this is an epically bad start. What did I see? The worst start in a full season since those awful 1966 Red Sox?
Yeah, that's a cop-out, though. That eliminates that 96 Red Sox team that started 6-19.
Right.
Because that season was, it was a season delayed at the beginning. That wasn't coming off the strike, but, yeah, they were brutal. That was the Kevin Kennedy team with the, Duquette completely disregarded the defense when he built the team, and he had Will Cordero at second. I remember going to a game early April that year, and the outfield alignment was Greenwell in left, Troy O'Leary in center, and Kevin Mitchell in right field. So Canseco wasn't good enough defensively to crack that group, but fell apart pretty fast for that group early. They got hot toward the end of the season, which is what you're kind of hoping for with this team, but they were so far behind that they even a great second half couldn't pull them into the playoff picture. The Red Sox really only hope is that they get hot, and there's the extra wild card team this year. There's three rather than two, so maybe they can sneak in there. But doesn't look good right now.
No, and I guess that's why I still hold out some hope. It is still only May. They had that shorter than usual spring training, and the fact that the bats aren't doing much, I guess, is what surprises me the most, because everybody thought that would be the strength of the team. What's remarkable is they're doing as badly as they are, despite the fact that the middle of the order, Devers, Bogarts, and Martinez have been hitting very well, but boy, everybody else just can't buy a hit.
Yeah, their whole outfield is terrible now. If you look at Baseball Reference, Verdugo, Hernandez, and Bradley all basically have the same numbers. They're right around 200. I think Bradley's batting average is higher than Hernandez right now, which nobody really was expecting. So many holes in that lineup, and some of these guys will hit. I think Hernandez, we know about what a valuable player he is. He was so good last year, and he only hit 250, but you see a lot of different ways he impacts the team. I think we'll see that again. Story will hit. I've been reading some of the Colorado stuff about him, and sounds like he's a guy who does everything right. It sometimes takes guys an adjustment when they get away from Coors Field before their splits become a little bit more even home road, but it usually happens. Happened with Larry Walker, Arenado, guys like that. And he's just pressing, all sorts of things adding up, but he's a good ball player. I do think if you believe in karma, the way the Red Sox have built this team with kind of a disregard for their current stars, it's interesting to see Bogarts and Devers doing so well, and the Red Sox really didn't make either one of them a meaningful offer to extend them in spring training. And, Martinez is a free agent. You can walk away from him, but will they actually replace him? And they haven't made Nate Eovaldi an offer either. It's the front of the rotation for this team. So, and really everything you'd want in a teammate. So, I don't know. Heimblum's churn on the roster here has left a pretty appealing team, unappealing team, and right now a pretty lousy one too.
Starting pitching has been pretty good. They can't go very deep in games, but they've been getting the job done. But that just taxes the shaky bullpen even more. And I guess that's my complaint with Heimblum and the structure of this team is you knew Matt Barnes was not the old Matt Barnes, certainly not for the second half of last season, and they really didn't address that except adding more journeymen, more guys named Hansel Robles or guys who pitch like Hansel Robles.
Yeah, I'm tired of Brazier, too. He's been here a few years. He's had some injuries. He was pretty good when they won the World Series in 18, but it seemed somebody they should have moved on from a little while ago, and they still keep trying to shoehorn him into an important role. And I think we all know Tanner Houck kind of stuck it to this team a little bit, not being able to go to Canada, because that forced them to put Willock in the rotation, where he's really good, but they couldn't win any of the starts. And meanwhile, the bullpen was left shorthanded because they didn't have him out there, who's basically the only really, truly reliable guy that they have, at least for a right-hander. And then when Houck's come back and his stuff really isn't there, it's kind of alarming that he doesn't look like the same guy he was last year. So that's one pitcher they were counting on to be in a significant role, either in the rotation or bullpen, and he's really hasn't been helpful in any way at all this season.
I like how your colleague Dan Shaughnessy refers to both Houck and Crawford with their new first name, Kyrie.
Yeah. For me, that's a little much, because Kyrie's on his own planet. You know, now he's actually using the word martyr to describe himself.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Hunter Crawford describes himself as a martyr. I guess I'll allow that. But yeah, Dan's really hammered that point, which is... it's good to see, because I agree with him, and the guy really did let the team down for somebody who says I'll do anything to help the team, and they're what, 3-10 since that happened. So just pretty dismal.
Chad Finn with us here on Downtown. I scrambled yesterday to see if I could get Peacock to work, and then I checked what you had posted and said, oh, it's on NBC, and so I went to it. I thought the Peacock NBC broadcast was pretty good.
Yeah, really good. You know, the sports boss, more or less, at NBC is a guy named Sam Flood, who played hockey captain at Amherst, really smart guy, but he's a Boston sports fan and a true sports fan. And I think he has a really good sense for what fans want beyond the bells and whistles that you're always going to get, because we have the technology to do all sorts of things now, K-zones and putting hit probability on the screen and stuff like that. He knows that, like, the 80s Vin Scully, Joe Garagiola broadcast team with Bill Bob Costas and Tony Kubek as the number two, people really appreciated that. And people of a certain age are going to remember that well and always associate it with NBC. There are older people who will associate Kurt Gowdy and the way they used to call the World Series. Mm. They'd take a broadcaster from each team.
Right.
That's how Dick Stockton ended up calling Carlton Fisk's home run in Game 6. He was in the booth with Gowdy. And so they for this broadcast, they took they have Jason Benetti, a tremendous broadcaster who calls White Sox games, does stuff on ESPN. And they took one White Sox broadcaster who he works with all the time, Steve Stone, and took Euclid from the Red Sox and put them in the booth. And he'll have two different analysts from different teams each week, which is kind of a tribute to the way they used to handle it during the World Series in the 70s. So I really liked it. Loved having Scully do the open. Thought they had some cool retro stuff in there and some cool modern stuff, but wasn't too over the top with it. Way, way better than the Apple Red Sox broadcast Friday night.
Yeah, I didn't get to see that, although I saw a couple people post that the picture quality, the video quality of the Apple broadcast was quite good.
I didn't think it was good at all. I saw Hurley, I think, posted that, right?
Yeah.
He comes on here. I don't know what he was talking about. Mine looked like it was underwater.
Oh, so. Dear. Oh, dear.
Pitching Apple products on the side or something like that. But it felt really rudimentary to me.
All right, let me preface this with I loved Tom Gordon as a baseball player, as a closer. He was great. Stephen King wrote a book, The Girl Who Loved Tom Gordon.
Love the book.
Oh, my word. He's just brutal on the air so far.
Yeah, he is. I don't know what they're doing this either, because the beginning of the season they were kind of touting that it was going to be much more normal than it had been, you know, a couple of years ago, where they had like Mario Pemba, Josh Lewin, McDonough came in and did a bunch of games, and they're still doing that this year. They'll do about 30 this year. But they were kind of touting that it was going to be Will and Joe and Sean popping in and Maloney every once in a while. But they've been using Tom Gordon a lot more than just on a whim. You know, they had him down Baltimore, had him in Tampa where he lives, and now with this series with the White Sox up here, I wonder if we'll be hearing more of him. He you probably could use some more time in AAA as in the broadcast booth before he gets an opportunity like this. But I love the guy as a player, and I'd like to see it work out. But not so far. It's not really happening.
No, a little rough. But we'll give him time. It's early still. Celtics with a big one tonight. What do you think, Chad? Can they even this series up and get that home court advantage back?
Which Jason Tatum are we getting? Are we getting the usual Jason Tatum, or the one who looked like Michael Petras the other night? I mean, it was weird. You know, he's just out of sorts the whole game. And I know people mentioned that his wrist is bothering him, and he said that's been bothering him for a couple months. So I took that as a good thing because he played exceptionally well in the 2 months that wrist has been bothering him. And doesn't sound. I was kind of wondering if maybe he'd hurt it in this game further, like the and one when he got drilled by Giannis trying to block his shot, and he got the dunk and went careening into the stands down there, came up shaking his hand. But sounds like he's okay. Just one of those bad games, I guess. And it got in his head a little bit. He wasn't being aggressive in the second half. He still spends too much time complaining to the referees. It's kind of rubbed off on Grant Williams a little bit too, which he may put an end to that pretty quickly the other night. But, you had some things happen in this game that probably aren't going to repeat themselves in a good way tonight. I don't know if Horford can be quite as good as he was in that game. I mean, 22-16, team high, 5 assists. Derek White had 14 points in 21 minutes. He was really good. So Tatum coming back, he has to be himself, because some of the guys that picked up the slack the other night probably won't be able to do it to that degree.
Chad Finn with us here on Down. So I wanted to ask you quickly, I haven't had a chance to hear it yet, but I've liked her work in other places when I've seen it. Megan Ottolini joining the afternoon crew on EEI. How has that gone so far?
Good. Yeah, that was no surprise. She's been in with them for the last couple of months, off and on. Does a weekend show down here. She's a smart person, really enthusiastic, genuine sports fan. Has a really good rapport with Christian. They have a good back and forth with the same sort of sense of humor. And it's gone pretty well with Lou, too, so far. I'm curious if they make other changes on that show, but in the near future. But right now it's those three, and it sounds pretty good.
Excellent. Chad, thanks for joining us. As always, great talking with you. And we'll catch up with you again before too long.
All right. See you, Rich.
Thanks, Chad. Chad Finn of the Boston Globe here on Downtown.